We may be more familiar with the instrumental music, like the Peacock Variations, for example, by Zoltán Kodály. We know he was a composer of choral music, too, and he became dedicated to music education in his country. Dr. Ruth Zinnar tells us Kodály, composer and music educator, lived not only to see many of his dreams and hopes for a transformed system of music education become a reality in his native Hungary, but also considerably affect the way music is taught to children in many other parts of the world. He was a brilliant student, determined to be a teacher. He pursued his musical studies at the Academy of Music, where he became an instructor and, as we know, an eminent composer. As time went by, he became more and more interested in children and music education for children. As a result, he was very troubled by the poor level of music instruction in his native land and by the unimportant position music had in the schools. Starting in the 1920s, he launched a tireless campaign to raise the standards of music education. He declared that while the state spent large sums of money to maintain musical institutions for the minority who would become professionals, millions are condemned to music illiteracy, falling prey to the poorest music, he said. In addition, because the people were not adequately educated in music, the finest Hungarian musicians trained by the Academy of Music lacked audiences and had to seek positions outside Hungary. Unceasingly, in writings and speeches, he argued the importance of music education, citing its spiritual value in uplifting the soul, but also its physical benefits of training the throat and lungs, the contribution of rhythmic training in developing attention, concentration, determination, and the ability to condition oneself, and the ability of melody to open up the world of emotions. Kodály declared, "Music can be of benefit to public music life through music and a good education in early childhood. It benefits the whole nation." While he called for the use of Hungarian idioms and music for Hungarian children, workers, farmers, Kodály realized that this would have to be modified in other countries. Music, at its core, was, though, he felt, a unifying force for all humankind. He dreamed of a time when all people in all lands are brought together through singing, and when there is a universal harmony. In one of his final messages to the world and to music teachers, he declared humankind will live the happier when it has learned to live with music more worthily. Whoever wants to promote this end in one way or another has not lived in vain. That from Dr. Ruth Zinnar of York College. Whether Kodály's methods are embraced or rejected, many educators, parents, and lovers of music might agree with several of his basic beliefs, as we just heard them laid out. The Bach Choir of Bethlehem is very concerned about educational programs, and we have a chance to sample one of their concerts to that end. They tell us educational programs and community engagement are a cornerstone of the Bach Choir of Bethlehem. The choir has been recognized nationally and internationally for the outstanding achievements in sharing the music and passion of J.S. Bach with a wide and diverse audience and young audiences as well. These efforts include programs to engage school-aged children and adults at Bach to School, one of their programs, Bach at Noon, the Family Concert, and also their regular concert series. Most recently, with the 2018 merger of the Bel Canto Youth Chorus, they expanded programs that have an impact on training and encouraging the next generation of singers. Together, they are hoping to foster a lifelong passion for the choral arts. This is the Bel Canto Youth Chorus. The Bach Choir of Bethlehem will present their Youth Choirs Festival this Sunday. It is a celebration of singing and song in the lives of young people. And we had a chance to talk with Christopher Jackson, Artistic Director and Conductor of the Bach Choir of Bethlehem, about the annual Greg Fumfgeld Family Concert and about his own singing beginnings.
Actually, I have what might be considered a slightly unorthodox background for a full-time conductor. I didn't study any instruments growing up. I say this with absolute love in my heart and with no negative context, quote-unquote, only a singer. And it started at a young age for me. Around third grade, my public school teacher identified me as somebody who should participate in an honor choir. And I had no idea that I had any skills or gifts as a musician. I just sang my heart out in elementary school music class. And it was really at that point that I started receiving some extra opportunities. And I think that gets back to what you were saying about how we're focusing on young people right now. I really strongly believe that it's the extra opportunities that a young person receives to perform or perform at a high level that helps keep music a part of their life and maybe paves the road for music to be maybe a more integral part of their life than if those opportunities didn't exist. So I started singing and drawing my own attention to music in third grade, and then I just stuck with it. I didn't even take private lessons until my senior year of high school. And my journey into music was purely through the public education system, and it shaped me in a way that I think I'm still really grateful for.
Well, that is the lead-in for the next discussion that we have. You're so right, Christopher, about the Greg Fumfgeld Family Concert as an entity. Tell us about that, and then how you're going to celebrate this year.
So the family concert, the Greg Fumfgeld Family Concert, is designed to be family-friendly. And what that looks like, the practical explanation for that, is that we designed it for audiences of all ages. There is a no shushing policy. So, you know, if you have a young one that just happens to be excited by the music, you don't have to put the clamp down on them while they're experiencing the music. They can react as they need to. It's not a formal concert in the sense that we're demanding silence in between movements. And it really is there to be a fun, interactive, and sort of stress-free experience, or even maybe a first-time experience for some audience goers, where they're going to be hearing music from around the world. So this year, it takes on a unique form. We have a festival of youth choirs. So we've invited four choirs to come and sing with us. But the concert features music from all over the world: Zimbabwe, the Basque region of Spain, Sumatra, Russia, and of course the United States. And we are also teaching the audience a little bit about music through some interactive methods. So I'm going to have them clapping some rhythms with me. Some of the guest schools are going to teach a little bit of movement. The choral piece from Sumatra, part of their deep choral tradition in that part of the world, actually incorporates movement with most choral music. So we're going to be teaching a little bit of movement. I'll even get the audience to sing a little bit. So the idea is that the concert is interactive. It's about an hour in length, so it shouldn't stress the attention span of anybody in the audience too much. And we want young people and families to be able to experience this art in a way that doesn't feel stressful.
What about music of the classical tradition?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we aim to do as the concept of the family concert, whenever we invite all these guest choirs, I want our guests to be able to experience singing with a professional orchestra. And so we chose a couple of pieces for this concert that I think the audience may already know and love. Even if they don't know they know it, they might know it. And that also gives these young people who are joining us maybe their first opportunity to sing with a fully professional orchestra. So we're doing four movements from the Mozart Requiem, which that's the piece that I mentioned. Even if audiences don't know they know it, they probably have heard it. It's lived in movie soundtracks and on commercials, and it should be quite familiar to people. And then we'll also do one movement of the Bach Mass in B minor, the closing movement, the Dona Nobis Pacem, which means grant us peace. And that'll be our final piece on the concert, sending people out into the world, hopefully with a good message.
Now, who are these choruses and choirs you've invited?
So we have Nazareth High School under the direction of Kelly Rocky. She is a fabulous educator in the state, and also she helps direct our own youth chorus, the Bel Canto Youth Chorus. So we're really happy to feature her. We've got Parkland High School under the direction of Allison Lagan. And then we have Lehigh Valley School for the Charter Arts under the direction of David Macbeth. So these are our three local high school groups. And then I'm also really excited to be bringing in a guest that's near and dear to my heart. The Westminster Choir will also be joining us for this concert. And they're currently under the direction of Dr. Donald Nally, who is also the conductor of The Crossing, kind of famously. They just won a Grammy this year. And they are going to be performing two pieces on their own, as well as one piece with the Bach Choir that's a preview of our upcoming collaboration in late March for the Rachmaninoff All-Night Vigil.
How wonderful to bring Westminster in, and Westminster Choir College is such a respected name, certainly.
Well, yes, absolutely, and I don't think I mentioned this, but I'm an alum of Westminster. I got my master's degree there, and so is Donald Nally. And so we both have a lot of love for this institution, its impact on the United States over the course of its history, and it seemed like a very natural fit for an organization like the Bach Choir, who's celebrating its 127th year and its continued impact on music in our region, but also nationally, to partner up with Westminster Choir and to celebrate the longevity and hopefully look forward into the future with a lot more to come.
Tell us what we should know about finding you, where we find you, how we take part in this.
Absolutely. The concert is on Sunday, February 23rd at 3 p.m. at the Zollner Performing Arts Center. And you can buy tickets either by going to Bach.org and looking around there for family concert tickets. But at this point, it will likely redirect you to the Zollner Performing Arts website. And you can buy tickets from there as well.
And we've just had a chance to talk with both Paul Salerni and Stephen Sammets about the acoustic in Baker Hall at the Zollner. And is it a hall that you're familiar with?
Very. We always do our family concert in that hall, but also during our festival, that's the location of our Saturday morning Ifor Jones orchestral music concert. So I think out of all of the places that we go, particularly for choral and orchestral music, the ability for the audience to hear every detail in that hall is really remarkable. It's one of my favorite places to perform in the Valley, and it's got plenty of good seating. It's a really cozy place to be, and it's just delightful to do a concert there every time we get the chance.
Looking down the road, is your gala sold out? Do you want to talk about that?
The gala is not currently sold out, which I'm really glad you gave me a chance to talk about this. Our guests this year at the gala are the Thomanerchor of Leipzig, Germany. And they are incredibly special guests in general, but also for the Bach Choir, because this is the very same choir out of this long 800-year tradition. They span all the way back to the 1200s, but it's the very location where Johann Sebastian Bach was the Thomaskantor, the head musician, as well as an educator at this school. And the tradition continues on today.
And then how can we hear this ensemble?
So our gala concert is on Saturday, March 8th at 4 p.m. at Central Moravian Church here in downtown Bethlehem. And that's a really special location for us here in the Bach Choir. And I think it's a special place for the Thomanerchor to perform as well, as that is the exact building where the first performances of the B minor Mass in the United States took place.
¶¶ The Bel Canto Children's Chorus, as it was known. At the time of this recording, A Child's Christmas in Bethlehem is the album, and we are sampling it because it's conducted by Greg Fumfgeld, and it's on the Canadian Analecta label, and it's part of the offerings and presentations of the Bach Choir of Bethlehem. And they are concerned, as we've just heard, with bringing young people to singing and to song. To that end, the annual Greg Fumfgeld Family Concert will take place this Sunday, February 23rd, at 3 o'clock at the Zollner Arts Center at Lehigh University in Bethlehem. It is their Youth Choirs Festival. And Dr. Jackson laid out for us the kinds of things that we'd be hearing, not just Bach, not just Mozart, but music from around the world, and it's an interactive, participatory, relaxed experience lasting around an hour. Also, Dr. Jackson told us about the upcoming visit from Leipzig of the Monarchor of the Thomaskirche, the Bach Church, so well known a site of pilgrimages to this day. March 8th, they will be in Bethlehem to perform at the historic Moravian Church, Central Moravian Church, at 4 o'clock. And we'll have more from Dr. Jackson next week on Art Scene about that gala concert, but we wanted to at least get you thinking about it, so in case you wanted to attend, you could make plans. Again, it's the Youth Choirs Festival, part of the Greg Fumfgeld Family Concert Series presented by the Bach Choir of Bethlehem, this Sunday afternoon at 3 at the Zollner Arts Center at Lehigh University in Bethlehem. For more information, bach.org, bach.org, B-A-C-H.org.